Ciao, St. Louis.
Welcome to our show, Le Donne. We are originating from the corner of Daggett and Marconi, which is the center of the hill, our Italian neighborhood here in St. Louis.
Welcome, everyone. And today, I'm Loretta Vitale-April here at Chow Studios, and here along with Diane Cataldo and Lincoln Eckert. We're here to do a very special interview because we have a very special guest with us today. I'm so excited that I got this guy on the show with us tonight today. Gus Terragrosa, welcome to the studios of Chow St. Louis,
yes,
Gus.
Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. I've been on a lot of television shows, radio shows, but this is a great privilege to be on the Italian...
The Italian Network in St. Louis.
In St. Louis. And I got a call from April 2 days ago. I was in Chicago, and she told me that she'd like to have me in the show. So I immediately took a plane, and I came over, and I feel good about what I'm doing for the Italian community right now.
Good. Gus, thanks so much for being here again. And we've got some special questions, some interesting questions for you, but important questions. But before we move on, I also want to let everybody know that right behind us here is Margaret Daly. Margaret, thank you for being with us today, too. And please feel free to, you know, to say anything you'd like to
jump
say.
Jump in with anything.
Jump in with any questions or any comments you might have. Well, is that okay, Gus?
Yes, it's okay.
Thank you for having me.
Behind every
She's
successful
man. She's my
fiancée.
What am I going to do? Me?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Gus, again, what a privilege to have you here. You have been a pillar in this community. Everybody knows you. It's fair to say you have celebrity status in this community, because you mentioned the name Gus Terragrosa, everybody knows you. And they know you in a good way. You're kind, you're friendly, and you're sociable, and you've done a lot of good and a lot of work.
Generous.
But and you're very generous. But I'm here, I want to talk to you about the old days and growing up in that old neighborhood, which was where? We all know about the hill and where it's located, but a lot of people don't know that there was a second Italian neighborhood in St. Louis.
There was a first.
And that was
Italian neighborhood.
Where was it located?
It was located on 8th and Cole, Carr Street, Biddle Street, all the way up to 16th Street, Cass Avenue.
So we're talking about just north of downtown.
Right where the Superdome is. Right now.
The Superdome, yeah, and the convention and the convention center.
Right there.
And if I remember it, they also had their own church, just like the Hill neighborhood has
Beautiful
its own church.
Church, Our Lady Help of Christians.
Our Lady Help of Christians. So I know that's where you grew up. Is that where you were born?
I was born July the 4th, 1937. The doctor, everybody downtown had midwives being born.
Back in those days, yeah, sure.
I had a regular doctor, and he came about 3 o'clock, and he went to the Low State Theater on Washington Avenue, and he with his son, and he said, "I'm going to be back at 5 o'clock." 5 o'clock, I was born, July the 4th, in 3-room house, shotgun house, they called him.
Yes.
And can you imagine what my father felt when I was born, and he named me after his father? All the Italians were named after the sons were named after their father first, uncles, and same way with the girls, the beautiful girls. Let's don't leave them out. But it was a tradition to do that. Today, forget about it.
Well, let's go back to your dad, though, and being a traditional Sicilian that he was. Is that correct?
Yes,
when,
he was.
Did he come from Sicily, or was he the?
Let me tell you, my grandfather.
What was your grandfather?
My grandfather came from Termini Imerese in Palermo. He was a barber. He took the boat over to across the ocean with my grandmother that was pregnant. He had $7 on him. He landed in Manhattan. He took the train from Grand Central Station and landed on Market Street at Union Station. And relatives were waiting. That's okay. How it happened. Can you imagine taking that trip all the way from Italy?
By yourself.
With your wife, pregnant wife. And it wasn't first class because they were poor. But they got here.
So they had your father here. And then your father met your mom here, I guess.
Yes. My grandfather was a barber. Mm-hmm. I was a barber. My grandfather died when he was 33 years old and left my grandmother with 10 kids.
Oh, wow.
My father had to go down on produce roll. He was 12 years old. He made $5 a week. But they had soup bones were free. A lot of other stuff was free. And they raised kids with pasta with broccoli, pasta with peas, pasta with pasta, pasta with olive oil, pasta milanese with the breadcrumbs.
What my mother could do with a pot of pasta was amazing. And that's the whole thing about those people. They made the best of what they had, and it was delicious. And sometimes I tell people, we had pasta almost every day. I mean, you know, a day when we had meat, well, that was a special occasion, wasn't it?
Forget about it.
Maybe on Sunday if you were lucky.
Especially with 10 kids.
And especially maybe on Sunday if you were lucky, right?
Yeah. Well, that's in Italy, too.
What was your mom like?
My mother was a beautiful woman, very beautiful, and they never went anywhere because they had to raise kids.
Mm-hmm. Look at the cameras.
And they were watched by their fathers, their uncles. Man, they could do nothing. And when they went to the show for 15 cents, they had 5 shows downtown. Downtown St. Louis was our front yard. It was a beautiful community. Yes. And they got together. They went in threes and fours, like nuns they were growing up. And they were beautiful. They had to sneak putting lipstick on after they left, or rouge and stuff like that, because they couldn't do it at their house.
Oh, yes.
They couldn't do that.
So you're talking about the girls, the school girls that you grew up with.
School girls, women, they were so beautiful. The Italian women were gorgeous, I tell you. I just, when I was a young kid, I'd sit on the step in front of the house and just admire how gorgeous and...
Watching all the girls go by.
Watching all the girls go by. That's a good one.
That's a good song, isn't
yes.
it? Yeah, watching all the... And that was... But so tell me about your mother. She was born here also. I said she was born here.
She was born downtown.
But she was a Sicilian of descent also.
Yes, she was born downtown, and my grandmother was from Zigliano in Sicily. And I don't know if I should tell you this story, but...
We want to hear stories, of course.
It's a wild story.
About your mother?
My grandmother.
Oh, about your grandmother. Oh, yes, absolutely.
And my grandfather.
Okay.
My grandfather had a store downtown where they made... he sold these Italian bedspreads out of silk and satin with pictures on it. And then all these embroidered things, curtains, and things you would put under
doilies.
He had like runners.
Yes.
8 or 10 guys with big suitcases. He carried it from like the tradition from Italy. When you go to Italy, still do. These people come in your house with suitcases, and they lay out their stuff, and you buy, because in the outskirts of Palermo and the cities, they don't have stores. They got caravans that come once every 2 weeks. They carry trucks, loads of shoes, all kinds of wares, produce, and that's what I seen when I was in Italy. But they carried, and that's what he did. So listen to this story.
Ready.
My grandfather.
Look into the camera when you say this or this. So everybody back at home went, and in their office wants to hear this.
Let me tell you this story. It's a story of matchmaking and doing things to get people to the United States. My grandfather, Joe Messina, was 6'4", businessman, made a few dollars in the store downtown. And he sent a letter to Zigliano to my grandmother, who was his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, Grazia Maria. She got on a boat, like I say, she crossed the ocean, got off in Manhattan, took the train at Union Station by herself, and got off in Union Station, and there he was, Joe Messina, her brother-in-law. Did you get that? Her brother-in-law. So she says, where's this gentleman that was you were supposed to meet up and go out and marry? He says, I'm the gentleman. He had a wife in Zigliano, and my grandmother didn't know what to do, so they got married here at Our Lady Help of Christian back in 1910, stuff like that. And they had three kids. My mother, my Aunt Mary, my mother's name was Josie, and she had a boy named Joe. And that's an Italian story. There's a lot of Italian stories like that.
I've got one.
But I didn't realize that for years until my mother told me. Can you imagine how she felt?
I guess the idea was that they wanted their families to come over here, and a lot of them didn't marry like that. Got married like that so that their families could come over, right?
I don't know what was on this guy's mind. I'll tell you, it's a crazy story.
It is. Did you have any siblings, Gus? Did you have any siblings?
I have a daughter.
No,
a sister named Grace. Mm-hmm. She's a year younger than me. And then my sister Rose. Okay, my dad didn't want to have a lot of kids because he was supporting 10 kids. There was no Social Security. There was no food stamps. There was nothing. Can you imagine that? Nothing. And my grandmother, until she got on her feet, she put four of her kids off of Lucas and Hunt, St. Vincent's orphan home. That's why when I was in business, I always made sure they got clothes and shoes from my store and toys around Christmas time. We brought toys there.
I want to get to that, but first of all, before we get to that, I know that you grew up there on the U. You always went to Catholic school there, right?
Oh my God, it was so good.
What were the nuns like and the kids in school?
Oh my God, Sister Bridget that just passed away about 4 years ago, on the hill. Can you imagine? My grandkids came to the villa when they were born, little babies on up, and she took care of them. From me to them.
Wow.
What a wonder. She used to cook pasta for the kids for in the afternoon for a dime. You get a plate of pasta, and Sister Bridget would do it. And you know, when it was, we didn't even have gloves or anything in cold. I can remember her putting my hands on the radiator to warm my hands up. What a beautiful feeling to have a second motherhood of the Sacred Heart nuns. It was like they were taking care of us. You know what I mean? It was like a motherhood, our second mothers. And they did take care of us, honestly.
Well, that's great. So I want to know more about, since our show is Le Donne, which means the ladies, me and Diane, Le Donne. So I want to know more about these women in your life that made an impact and influenced you. It must have been your mother. It must have been Sister Bridget. Who were the women that influenced you?
Oh, my aunts. My aunts influenced us. The women downtown, when we had Good Friday, they got everything ready for the saints to come out of Our Lady Help of Christian Church. And they were carried, the saint, from the church on their arms. There'd be 10 guys on each side. And They got everything ready. And they had a procession all over downtown. They had a band. I'll never forget the drummer. Bada bing, bada boom. It was like a funeral.
March to his own beat, is that right? March to his own beat.
I tell you, and they were all smoking them Italian stogies. And you could smell them, honest. And they all went up the streets. And one of the ladies that impressed me a lot was Charlotte Peters.
Oh, of course.
She was there in the procession all the time. And people came from the hill, women, and they got in the procession. I don't mean 20, 30 people. I'm talking about 300-400 people.
Wow, in the
procession.
That's amazing.
Procession, and they'd stop. They'd stop at different locations, put the saint down, and people would put dollars on the ribbon and stuff like that. So this is really a crazy thing I remember. My grandfather, all the Italians came to his place. He had a store and a restaurant there. Oh, they come from Collinsville, Belleville, Madison, all the Italians, Bonnell, Gillespie, and they come. And they would buy stuff off of my grandfather, and they play cards. So they all be playing cards, and they weren't using the great words. You know, I tell you, they lose. Madonna, they start tearing up the card. But when
it's a family show, Gus.
Yes, when Jesus and the Blessed Virgin, she was holding Jesus. Stop right in front of my grandfather all the time, every year, because they all came out and they put money on the ribbon. They got more money out of them, 40, 50 Italians that were playing Biscola and hearts and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go back in and start hollering and cussing again. But it was really a thrill to see these women come. And I loved it. Another thing that I remember a lot of women doing, wearing bandanas. Beautiful. They look so gorgeous wearing bandanas. You never hear bandanas no more. I loved it. They different colors, different things on it, you know what I mean? And what I really remember when Monsignor Polizzi, we had May Day, and we had all the girls dressed in white, singing and praying on in a procession, and that was Monsignor Polizzi's thing. He did so much for that church. Monsignor Dwyer, Monsignor Polizzi, Monsignor Pelker. I mean, they were the stone of that church. And you know what? A lot of them churches. I heard Our Lady Help a Christian, I don't know how true it is, used to be a shul. A shul is a Jewish synagogue. They had one on 9th Street, 9th and Cole. They tore that down. And you can tell by the dome that it might have been that. A Jewish, because the Jewish people settled there in like 1860, 1870. They settled in that downtown area. And then they moved out, and the Italians moved in, and it was great. It was a great thing. And let me tell you what I used to see in the morning, these women going to work. Man, they get ready. My grandmother, she had property down there. Can you imagine all these people that came from her whole town, our friends? My grandfather got them jobs at Viviano Spaghetti House, got them jobs on Produce Row or the Mansion House. That was Produce Row in the 1910, where the Mansion House is from the old cathedral on down on both sides, were all produce. And I couldn't believe I heard a story you talking about what I remember about women downtown. Yeah. A special nun, she's a saint. She told me and Mark Cusimano, that owns Chemo's restaurant, they've been in business almost 100 years. That family has given more to charity under, they don't know names or anything, for years. She told me a story before she went to Connecticut. I believe that's where she retired. She says, Gus, you know what? I said, I call her sis. I said, I call all the nuns sis. I said, sis, what is it, babe? She says, you know, we were so poor. The nuns come from Italy. They talked Italian. They didn't talk that much English. And we were so poor, the Italian community, on Sundays, they put a dime or a nickel in the collection basket. And you know who supported us? He lived on 10th Street. His name was Joe Cusimano, the grandfather of Mark Cusimano, wow. Frank Cusimano on Channel 5, and the great giving Cusimano family. I says, well, what did he do, sis? Every day, two nuns, we'd get baskets. We were on 10th Street, and he knew we were having trouble all the time. And he had a commission house where he'd buy truckloads of produce and let the poor people sell it at Soulard Market and pay him later. What trust he had in the Italian community.
That's wonderful.
And wait a minute, I'm not done.
Okay.
The nuns would go with baskets and he'd fill them up with produce. And that's how they ate. Mm. And the punchline is, he gave him a $10 bill every day. Do you know what a $10 bill was in 1905?
Oh, my goodness, a lot.
It was like $100. And that's how they paid the electric bill and whatever they bought their shoes with. It wasn't only food. I tell you, that man was a great man. And Sister Bridget told me that story. In about 6 months or whatever it was, she went to heaven. But she had to tell me that, and it was wonderful to hear that. That was part of the community of giving and loving with the Cusimano family. And there was a lot of other families that gave. But it's unanimous. They just wanted to keep it under radar. But I want to tell you from my heart what I heard from a beautiful nun. I couldn't believe how they existed. My goodness. Where did they get the money? From them people.
From the people, that's right.
Joe Cusimano.
Well, I want to move on to your career and you growing up, graduating and so forth. But before we move on, I just noticed that there's quite a few people listening in and quite a few people watching us right now. And we just want to give a shout out to everybody who's out there watching us.
So
we
could see somebody, Mary Louise, Elena Amalio, Debbie
Wenzel. Yeah. It's
Jean Kirk Costa.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're glad that you're listening to us again. You know, this will be a podcast. It can be downloaded later also, and you can watch it anytime on Facebook. Let's move on now to you, because you're talking about the people who were so giving. Gus, you have been a very giving person, but let's go back to your career. You started out as a barber. You graduated from high school. You went to high school?
Yes.
Okay, what high school did you went to? That's the old St. Louis question.
Well,
what high school
did you graduate? I was the last one to graduate from Our Lady Help a Christian before they closed it up. And I was almost the last one to graduate at McBride High School.
McBride,
with the Jesuits,
yes.
Mm-hmm. The brothers, the Jesuits. And then, you know, before, while I was going to high school, I was selling produce from house to house to make a buck. You know, my dad says, you want a car or a truck when I was 16? I said, I can't make money with a car. Buy me a truck. And I made a few dollars.
So you worked while you were going to school. Tell us about those.
Worked.
Yeah, you were telling me earlier.
When I was 5 years old in front of Famous and Barr selling papers for $1.35 a day.
Wow.
And this kind of weather, it's sleeting and snowing.
So before you became a barber, what kind of, you wanted, you earlier you were telling me about some of your jobs that you had.
Produce? Oh, yeah. My jobs downtown.
Yeah.
When I was about 10 years old, believe this, I went to work with at 7th Street Butcher Shop. My goodness, I guess it was wonderful. They had sawdust on the floor, and they had the butcher block where they cut the meat. When they cut the meat, the blood went on the table. And mm-hmm. my job was every night was to sweep the sawdust up and throw it away and get the iron brush and brush the blood off of the butcher block.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm 10 years old. I bet I weighed 50, 60 pounds, and I had to do that. Then I helped with the zazits. Yeah, he brought the zazits in, and he dumped it. And then I made the zazits, and when it come out, I tie it, and I put it in a cooler.
Wow! Now that is quite a that is really something. Making the zazits. Wow! I bet that was. I hope. Did you ever get to take anything home?
I'll tell you, take anything home. Freddie Monteleone always made sure we had some food to take home.
Oh wow!
And then. Listen to this. That was a hard job for me. My goodness. So I went next door. There was Mr. Shalufo. Beautiful man. I thought he was deaf and dumb. He never said a word. He was bent over, had a little capeto, and the fish were in stalls. No refrigeration, ice. I had to make sure the ice was on there from the truck, wagon, and later on the truck.
Right.
And they come in, and I had an ice pick, and I put all the ice in. And the funny thing about it, the next day, they had snails, babalooshies.
Oh, yes, of course, babalooshies.
The other day, I was at a restaurant, and the escrows, they call them, or something.
Escarole, yeah.
What the heck is escarole? And the guy says, I don't know. So I was at Kimo's restaurant, and the guy, he gets mad at me all the time. He says, babalooshie, babu. That means escrow's stupid. Babu means stupid. So anyway, they had baskets of it. And when the Italians would get them, they put them in a bag. They always picked the big ones.
Yeah.
And then at night, when the lid wasn't on them, they'd be traveling on the ceilings all over. And the next morning, I had to go capture them all and put them back. What a job that was.
That's right, because then they had to be put into the stew, into the boiling water or whatever. That's how I remember making them. I remember my mom making those.
Listen to this. Bacala, he used to put that in front of his store when he got it to show that the people that were going by that the bacala was in.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I couldn't believe it. When I first seen bacala, it was black. But you know why it was black? Because the flies were all on them. And when you pass by, the flies would leave. It turned white. But you had to show that it was.
Right.
I could never believe that. These are funny stories that I had growing up. So listen to this. So I couldn't handle that ice. My hands were freezing. And I went next door to Valente's. Valente's Bakery. Oh, my God. The crust on the bread was that thick. A loaf of bread was 5 cents.
Oh, my.
They made 3-pound loaves that big.
Oh, my God.
15 cents. My goodness. So anyway, here's another man. At Luca Petto, if you've seen The Godfather, you've seen this little man with a grocery store, and he had a store, and this guy was the Godfather. He says, I got my nephew, you know, he needs a job and all that stuff. And the old man, he had to give him a job, and then he gave Godfather a box, and he was trying to give it to him, and he wouldn't take it with pride. And this man looked just like him. I thought he was deaf and dumb. he was making the bread. He get a big hunk of dough, boom, 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 boom. He had a scale. He never waited. He did it. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He cut the bread up. I would get the wood. It was a big wood, the wood oven. I would get the temperature up, throw all the wood in there, chop it up, get it up to whatever it was, 250, 350. And then I would leave and go be an altar boy at 7 o'clock Mass at Our Lady of Upper.
Oh, my goodness. So you were quite busy during your school days. So you became a barber, right? And did you have your own barber shop?
Not at first. I worked downtown on behind Sticksburg Fuller. There was a St. Francis Hotel. And I worked there. And right across from Union Market, it was a great thing. All the Italians came to me. I grew up with them. I made a nice living. So then a barbershop came available on Lucas, on Broadway and Lucas. And that's where I really started making a few dollars, putting clothes in the back of my barbershop and shoes. I was making more money selling clothes than with these all these Italians that came from Union Market. Every Friday, I'd have 27, 30 straight razors, and I had to shave them. Friday and Saturday was a big day because they didn't work on Sunday, and they went to church with their family and Mangiati at home, but they lived on that produce row to make a living.
Yeah, sure.
So then, you know, I met some nice people, and as I was cutting hair, I met Regis Philbin. He used to do a show in St. Louis. Me and him bummed together in New York. His mother was Italian, and his father was Jewish. And I met Kevin Dobson. He was in a show with Telly Savalas. It was that he was a detective and. Mm-hmm. I spent time in New York when I went to the clothing and shoe show.
Okay.
Met a lot of nice people.
So that evolved into the clothes and shoe store that you had, or the hip-hop store that you that you had on Washington Avenue, right?
Yes.
So that's how that evolved. You just started small, and then it grew into the big.
I tell you.
So tell us a little bit about that store, because we're getting running on time here. So
you can give me later on. I got a lot to talk about.
You will be back. That's amazing. That's wonderful. All right, everybody, you heard it here first. He's going to come back. But
my goodness.
But tell me about the store.
Well, you know what? I had six fluorescent lights in the barbershop. When I moved on 14th and Washington.
Uh-huh. Where do I remember that?
My goodness, I had 500 lights. It was a shoe company.
Oh.
My goodness. And the rent was out of, I was paying $250 a month, and it went up to like $9,000 a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Many years were you there?
I'll tell you, about 20, 25 years.
Yeah, a long
years.
Time, right.
But you know what? I met a lot of celebrities, all the baseball players, football players. When they had the World Series in football, baseball, I had every team on the wall. Every team, baseball, football team, and all the TV channels came to my store. 'Cause man, I put on a show. I'm Italian. I put the show on.
That's what we do, right.
And let me tell you one funny story. I'd have about 30, 40 boxes in front of the wall behind me. And if the Cardinals lost the World Series, I said, see all these boxes I got here? I says, my goodness, I'm losing thousands. I only had one box. I got the stuff out, start throwing it. I don't know why they lose the series. I'm broke now. All the other boxes were empty. It was a show. It was a show. Italians put on show. We're barn actors and barn talkers. Remember that. That's what we did all our lives, besides helping people.
So, yeah, but that's the other thing about your store. You did you know, you had a lot of customers who were famous people, and people came from all over to buy stuff at your store. But you also helped people through your store.
Yes. Any.
Just briefly tell me, how did you help the people of the neighborhood?
A lot of kids graduated. I gave them suits, shoes, and I forgot about it. And then 10 years later, they said, Gus, you know what? You took care of me for graduation. Drive-by shootings. I paid for the funerals, clothes, everything. And when you needed shoes going to school, it was on me. And a lot of times, downtown, kids got saved for their shoes, and they'd be going down the street. Another person would grab them and run with the shoes. They come back to me crying. They got another pair of shoes. I never hesitated giving to them young kids in the community, because they lived in the projects by me, and they grew up around that era, and I had the same thing going on with me. So I continue giving them stuff. And then I start with the rappers. They start coming in my store. I had jackets, 5,000, 6,000. I had jewelry, all them jewelry. A lot of them rappers, LL Cool and all of them. They bought for me. Some of the guys that came in the store, the rappers, was LL Cool, Curtis Blow, Ice-T, Ice Cube, Jamie Foxx, that's all, I got a television show, Flavor, Criss Cross, The Boys in the Hood, Kumo D.
Those are some big names, Gus.
Yeah, Salt and Pepper, MC Hammer, 2 Live Crew, Eazy-E's got me in his video. I'm going to see my buddy in St. Louis, Gus. But I grew up, and the kids, I had pictures all over with them, and it gave him a feeling of doing. But let me tell you this, nobody came in my store with their pants down and their belts. Oh. No, you couldn't. You had to put your pants up and be a gentleman in my store. And I never, never was robbed in my store. They had a lot of respect for me because they knew what I did for their families, and the word got around, and that's what I did.
Gus, we could go on and on, but we're kind of limited on time here, so you've promised to come back, because I would love to hear more stories about the store and more stories about the old neighborhood, because I know that there's things about the old neighborhood that you miss that you would love to talk about.
And a lot of people don't know about.
So you will come back maybe in a month or so, and we can have you back, and you can finish.
Before you become a snowbird. For a few months.
Yes. Margaret, do you want to say anything, babe, about Hickory? She grew up on Hickory Street by the Soulard Market.
Oh,
and it
yes,
was
of
the
course.
Same thing.
St. Raymond's.
Bishop sure. Shaheen.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my God. What a wonderful bishop. Look what he did in that area.
Made it beautiful.
Helped
the people.
Well,
we're going to talk about you coming back after we close off the show here, but you're definitely going to come back. We've enjoyed your stories today, and we got
is it anyway?
It's almost 1 o'clock. I usually catch
my plane back to Chicago at 3:30.
Okay.
We're having a banquet party with the relatives.
Okay.
So I'm glad to be on the show.
And you'll be back on our show.
I'll be back. Where am I going to go?
Okay, wonderful.
So our people want to say hi to you, Luigi Copiano.
Yes.
And James Monteleone.
They're good. James Monteleone.
So he's watching right now.
Yes.
So you
I
can
know
you
your
can
whole
say,
family, James. From your grandfather and Major Monteleone from the St. Louis County Police Department. Now he's the head of security for the casino.
But as we close, everybody out there, thank you so much for joining us today and listening.
One more story.
Yeah, one more story.
For all these years, my father's brother, very handsome guy, his name was Zeno. I says, what is Zeno? How could a beautiful man named Zeno put this name on my uncle? And I was talking to Vince Monteleone, the tailor, about 2 months about it, and all these years it was always on my mind. I said, Vince, my uncle's name was Zeno. What the heck kind of name was that? He looked at me with his big eyes, and he said, you know what that meant, Gus? Vincenzo.
Oh, Vincenzo.
Vincent in Italian.
She was short. It was short for Vincenzo. Okay.
Before I hit the dirt, I finally got an answer. And Vince did it. I'll tell you that. What an amazing deal that was for me.
That's great. But please save those stories because we're going to have you come back on.
Yes,
and,
yes.
In the meantime, we're here at the studios of Child St. Louis, and we have a few reminders and a few announcements we want to.
I got a napkin. I got some tears in my eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
Thinking about this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It brings back a lot of memories.
Right back there.
Okay.
So, you got anything to say, Margaret?
No, that we never go nowhere. That people don't know Gus. And one man told a story that they had 10 kids and the father got killed. And he just had retired from AT&T. And he said that Gus promised the mother that he... and
when they were growing up.
To bring the children and he would clothe them.
Oh, wow.
And every September to start school, he did it.
Mm-hmm. Good man.
And they all had good careers because the man said they
good
never
man.
Had to steal.
No, and this is why we need you to come back. We got to finish this. We didn't finish this. So back to our announcements.
Tomorrow night, there's the, I can never get this right, the American Federation of Italian.
No, the Federation of Italian American Organizations is having their annual Christmas party tomorrow night. There's still tickets available. If you just give us a call here, you can call us here at the studio or call me at 314-550-4059 and make a reservation. $50 for a wonderful evening of Italian food and camaraderie. We hope that you'll come out for that. Also coming up
Christmas on the Hill, the 15th, Saturday the 15th from noon.
December the 15th, Christmas on the Hill. All kinds of activities going on the Hill, including carriage rides. You can even take a selfie with a reindeer. La Befana will be here telling stories at the Gelateria with the children. Babbo Natale will be here. The villa will have their craft store here at the Neighborhood Center, and the Ladies of St. Ambrose Church would also be selling their holiday crafts also at the church hall. So there's lots of stuff going on, and it's all like between Shaw Avenue and Bischoff, I guess, on Marconi, all the activity. Please come on down on December 15th from noon to 6 o'clock anytime.
And the 16th will be the Sicilian Cultural Association dinner at the La Luna Banquet Center. That'll be at 4:30. That's bring your children if you want to come.
Santa Claus will be there also.
Yes. And gifts. Mm-hmm.
And we want to remind everybody too about, I know this is a little ways off, but Carnivale this year, the Carnivale Grand Masquerade Ball will be Saturday, March the 2nd at the River City Casino Ballroom. It's going to be a wonderful affair. You should go on. There's a link on the Chow St. Louis Facebook site that'll link you to Eventbrite, where you can buy your tickets. If you buy your tickets now, between now and December 16th, there is a $10 discount. No, I'm sorry, a $10 discount. I believe it'll tell you on there, but if you wait till afterwards, and the tickets are going to be $125, but right now they're $115. So you could save $10 if you buy your tickets now. Wonderful evening. Everybody gets dressed up, black tie optional, and it's just a fun, fun evening. Carnivale, you know, the Italians answer to Mardi Gras, but we do it up better. Look it up on, you know, we do it just the way they do it in Venice. So please put that March 2nd on your calendar. Other than that, we want to wish everybody a wonderful weekend, and we will be back here next week
with a very special guest, Lena Prima.
Lena Prima, she's just recorded a CD, and she's going to talk to us about that and a little bit about her father, Louis Prima. So she's going to join us next Thursday. Thank you all for joining us, everybody.
Ciao,
St. Louis.
Margaret, can you take a picture? I'll put in the Italian newspaper of all three of us.
Ah, nice. No, I sort of have a story that would top your grandpa's.
Oh, don't tell.
My grandma Rose Gangitano.
That was about 45 minutes. I usually try to keep it to 30, but that's okay.
Jim Cataldo. Their neighbor, they lived on Blair. The neighbor was Jose Velasquez.
That's my neighborhood.
Okay.
That's mine.
Off of Cass Avenue.
Yes, they lived on the corner. And
there was a store on the corner.
Okay, it was right in, because their building no longer exists. I mean, it's like
I was
nothing there. And
I think I should have a picture of
DNA, I'm adopted and just discovered these people. Jose, the neighbor.
You ready, Margaret?
Yeah, let me see.
Don't talk.
I'm sorry, I wasn't ready.
Okay, I'll do another one. I got a...
Okay. Get one with her, with April.
Yeah, do mine right there. Do it this way.
Just press it here?
Yes. But hold it sideways.
Hold it sideways this way.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, good.
Oh, this is really clear.
I'll send it to you. Okay.
Okay, Mar.
Okay. Yeah. I'll send you the best one.
The
I'll send it to you.
Jose Velasco fathered all of her children, so they're really technically are no Cataldos. On paper, they're all Cataldos, but they're really Velascos. Every one of them. I had their kids tested. Jim didn't. I don't know. We don't know what was going on there, if they were just really
so
good
are you really
friends.
Are you leaving town today?
Oh,
is he leaving? I don't know what he's
I'm Sicilian.
Doing.
Oh, okay. He's not. Okay.
Just found out I'm adopted and just kind of found my father. He wants nothing to do with me. I'm a little shook up about that. But
is he living yet?
He's living. He lives over on Delore, St. Gabriel's Parish. Just turned 87.
A crazy Italian man.
He used to be one of Jimmy Vitale. Jimmy Vitale was his the nephew of Johnny. He was part
you
of that old
gangster.
Yeah, and so was my daddy.
What's his name?
Tony Cataldo. Anthony.
We're still recording. we're still recording. And you remember you have to end and end two times. I don't know.
So how do we should be able to cut that?
Gus, this is
yeah,
the movie.
Is he still here?
Yeah.
Gus, look at this frame. The games of our lives.
Yeah,
how'd
Gus
you like
was
that?
A.
Give
so
me a
did
nap,
you did
give
you?
Give me a napkin. My
that was great. Did
show.
You have fun? Did you like doing this with us?
Yeah, I like.
There was a lot of people watching too.
How do they watch?
Now
I mean,
that,
is
now
on Facebook Live. On Facebook Live.
Now,
yes.
Is that constantly going to be on Facebook if my kids want
to
see
mm-hmm.
it?
Just tell them to go to the Chow St. Louis web page.
You're going to have to send me some of yours. Gus
April.
Is going to his
April.
House phone and not his.
See, April.
I'll send it. I have both of your cell phone numbers. So I'll send you mine. Okay.
Okay. And Gus.